Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Because when I first heard the AEW, it's like, all right, here we go. Minimum Star is like, cool. And they're like, hey, can you bring the panda outfit? I'm like, all right.
From Agrigento, Sicily, Vinny Masato.
A well-known brawler from the NorCal area with an MMA background. I guess the doors to Lucha Underground are open to anyone. See what Vinny Masato can bring.
Vinny Masato, how are you doing?
Spectacular, fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you very much. I'm delighted to be chatting to you from your world famous man cave at your home. I've heard plenty about this. Is where I want to say this is where the magic happens, because that sounds rude. But
oh, that's a bedroom. That's the bedroom. Come on, my wife wouldn't. She doesn't come. That's gross. You know, she comes in here. She comes in here. This is the workout room. We can't have magic happen here. I'm sorry. I'm going way. She's going to be upset now.
We've started strong.
2 minutes in, I'm already in trouble with the wife. This is a great interview. I can't wait.
This interview's gone. Vinny, how you doing? Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I have sex with my wife. That's the interview.
Hello, everybody watching on whatever you're watching. I have sex with my wife. I have sex with my wife.
It's still good. It still works.
Listen, I'm very old. This is cool for me. All right, guys, leave me alone.
we're in the man cave. So we've got workout gear in there. I know you're a retro gaming guy, so I'm pretty sure your setup's in there as well.
Yeah, the setup's all in there. It's ridiculously messy right now, but I have my. It's so funny because you're like retro gaming, right? What do I have? I have my PS4, I have my PS3, but I do have my Dreamcast over there. They actually have the same Dreamcast that I have when I used to game test back in the day. So I still have my boot disc in there. So I have all the copies that they gave me, you know, the little boot disc copies of all the Dreamcast games. So that works. I wish I had my Super NES. And I wish I had like my old school stuff like that you can't get now. Like I wish I had my my 3DO. I wish I had my Sega Saturn that I used to have, you know, because slap some Panzer Dragoon as a, you know, but I don't have those anymore. I think I put them in storage, and my mom was like, I don't know what this is. I'm just going to get rid of it. I'm like, of course you are, mom. Of course you are. But she has like, you know, she has a porcelain doll that she's had for like 55 years. That's, you know, that's worthless.
Oh yeah, but video games are junk. But yeah, sure, this porcelain doll. Yeah,
she literally gave away my. I had a publisher version of 3DO where you can switch in the back, where you can switch to like whatever it was, like PAL to like you can like switch NTSC to like Japanese, all that. She like you can like you go in the back and you switch it to like. Whatever, like Japanese version, American version, like European, like it was like, I'm like, I wish I had that. It was like one of those dev kits that they gave out. I had one when
and
I
she
used to work.
She gave it away.
At, she just threw it away. She's like, I don't know, what is this? And she just goes, it's not a Nintendo, so it must be garbage. I'm like, no, I know it's not. Because that's what she knows, it's like Nintendo, and that's it. She's like, no, this doesn't say Nintendo. It's probably like some old VCR that doesn't work. She just threw it away.
So, I mean, I thought she might have given it away. I like the idea of somebody somewhere on planet Earth owning Vinny Massaro's Game Dev 3DO, which is a weird sentence.
It's very, very weird sentence.
Just to go off on a tangent about it, I mean, you mentioned there, like, it was like you had game dev units. So is this part of you that I wasn't aware of? So what were you doing? Obviously, were you developing games? Was that how that?
No. I was just a game tester. I was doing QA and game testing. Nice. So I did my first job was doing, I was doing technical support at Electronic Arts and then doing QA stuff. So basically if anyone's ever done, in the gaming industry, you always hear about the horror stories of EA, you know, working people to the ground and, you know, just doing absurd amount of hours trying to get those games approved. That was me. I was literally like, I would get there in the morning, do tech support, like, from 8 to 5, if you had like a issue with your game, they would call them the 800 number and you would talk to me and I would walk you, like I would make a boot disk, like a floppy disk for you. I would walk you through, like, going through MS-DOS and making sure your game worked. And then after that, we would basically go and do QA, and I would sleep on the floor, like underneath my cubicle, because the next morning was the same thing. I was taking bus at that time to go home, and the buses would stop running after a certain time, so I just literally was just sleep on the floor. And because we had to get that Madden game, we had to make sure that Madden game got out on time. That's my first job. Yeah.
Has that practice changed now?
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, they got a big lawsuit. They got they had a big EA like lawsuit about it, and we were all temps back then, and they were just treating us like, obviously, we were getting paid very little, and they would never hire anybody, full time or whatever. So, but I think it's changed now. There's obviously, somebody ended up suing them. And now it's a lot has changed about that. But so then after that, I worked at Sega for the Dreamcast until a week before it was done. Like I worked there, and then after that I worked for Sony, and then lastly I worked for Konami. I was doing some testing for Konami, and
So how do those gigs come about then? Is it a case of like, obviously you finish work on EA, like you've woken up from your sleep after your final day of Madden, and then you're wrapping up there, like, and do you get approached by another company? Do you apply to another company? How does that work?
Yeah, you just kind of like around here, because this is where I live, they're all, it's just all the buildings are all right there. So, there's a lot of temp agencies that look for like, hey, do you like video games? I'm like, yes, I like video games. And then do you want to hate video games? Cause we have a job for you. And then you start testing games but you start making friends cause everyone's just, cause it's, unless you're, you have a really good job there, you're there for a long period of time. If you're just doing QA or whatever, you kind of jump around from project to project, depending on what's available at the time. So yeah, I made a lot of friends at the time, and plus I was wrestling too. I was going to training, so there was a lot of wrestling fans in the video game business. So they're, they knew me as like, this guy wrestles and he does video game, he tests video games. So I was doing that, and but the reason why I got those dev kits is because I used to have I just made a bunch of friends, because with wrestling, they all wanted to know about about wrestling. So they made friends, and like one day they're like, hey man, I have, this guy gave me this, I have like five of them, do you want one? And I was like, sure. And it was like a box. I opened up the box and it was like a 3DO dev kit, like a Sega Saturn dev kit, and I was like, what the hell is this? This is the greatest thing ever. I'm sure if I wanted to like sell it, like I'd probably get a bunch of money for it, but
you don't want to sell it, just, do you?
No, I just want to, I mean, now I'll just keep it, but I don't even think you can even get game. I'm sure you can get a game, but they're probably like $600 or something outrageous. I'm sure you can probably download them online somewhere.
You can, but there's nothing quite like owning them like properly. So somebody will want
to. Especially those Sega Saturn ones. The Sega Saturn ones were like this big. They were like giant things.
beastly little creatures. I mean, you said there that, you know, you do game testing. We'll get into the interview proper in a bit, I promise.
This is great for me. I'm, you know, I mean, listen, no offense to any podcast people. It's like, Vinny Massaro, what started in wrestling? How did you start in pro wrestling? I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
This millionth question. Sure. Let me explain. So this is great. I can talk about this for hours.
We try our best to avoid very obvious questions. So we could be here for it. We'll just do this for an hour. It's fine. But with, like you said, like, oh, when you come into game testing, they say, oh, do you love games? Do you want to hate them? Obviously, you've still got a good relationship with playing games. Do you find it difficult when you were sort of deep in doing like game testing and QA stuff? Did you find it difficult to switch off from sort of QA mode to just leisurely playing computer games?
Yeah, and it's honestly, I compare it a lot to professional wrestling, because like everyone's like, oh man, did you watch that match? That was awesome. It's like, and I'm like, yes, it was awesome. But because I'm a trainer at pro wrestling, because I've been doing it for so long, it's like, yes, but they did this wrong, they did this wrong, they did this wrong. And same thing with games, you know what I mean? Like, I'm, you know, back, you know, when I was in doing the game testing, I was like, this game is awesome. But I'm like, yeah, but there's a glitch right there. I'm trying to, you know, I go here and I fall off the screen. There's this, there's that. I broke this, I broke that. So it's kind of like the same thing, but you do, if you're, you know, as a game tester, especially if you're working on one particular game, you end up hating video games for the most part, but just because you're playing the same level sometimes for like a long period of time. And then, you know, when you start playing the same level, and then afterwards you get a new copy of the game and it's, the level's completely different and they've made it worse, they made it better, but it's just, it's a long process. If you don't, it's hard to explain basically, but it's, and then if you get into third party testing, like I was doing for a while at Sega, sometimes you get lucky and you get WWE, you know, Royal Rumble or WWF Royal Rumble game, which is fun. And then sometimes you get like the absolute worst game and you have to play that for a week and you just want your life to stop.
What game made you feel like that most of all?
Oh my gosh. One time I still think this is a joke on me. My one of my QA leads gave me Mary Kay and Ashley Olsen pony riding, like I basically like had to train a horse, like pet it, like, you know, and, like race it and like nurture it so they can. I mean, just like, I go, you guys are evil. This stinks.
Did you not love it even the slightest bit by the end of the week?
No, because they were like always like they would like chime in and say like quirky little things, and I was like, God, it's the most annoying women ever. I mean, they were like little girls back then, but I was just like, oh my God, please stop. I couldn't imagine, like, and you had to make sure the horse got fed. I'm just like, I don't want to do this work. This is like, people get paid to do this. Why am I playing a video game like this? It's like this farming simulator game. Like, why would you want to play this game? It's like a dog, you know what I mean?
People find it weirdly relaxing to play stuff like that. I don't get it myself. I quite like games that sort of transport you away to places. You know,
exactly.
Kind of what you want, innit? You don't want admin job simulator. Like when you've just come home from a hard day working an admin job.
Yeah. IT, you know, 9000. Like, I don't want to do this. It stinks.
What was the last game that Vinny Massaro threw himself into?
Oh, well, right now I'm playing Horizon Forbidden West. Mm. Yeah, I forgot what it's called, but it's Forbidden West, the new one. No, I'm not playing Elden Ring. That's not happening. I'm sorry.
Why the very adamant no to playing Elden Ring?
Because I hate games like that where you literally just die and you just die and you just die and you just die. I'm very bad at those kind of games to the point where I get super frustrated. And because I have a normal job, plus I wrestle a lot, plus I train during the week. So I'll play like maybe 2-3 days out of the week, and I'll have like maybe 2 to 3 hours to play. And I don't want to spend those 3 hours hating my life and dying on the same dog or bat or whatever the hell, you know, stupid little thing that's overpowered. And because I didn't memorize its strikes and I have to roll. Because I've tried playing Dark Souls, I couldn't do it. It was impossible.
It seems to be a lot of what people have said about Elden Ring. Like, I'm hearing reviews like Game of the Year, five stars, five stars, five stars, Game of the Year. Da, da, da. then a lot of the reviews I hear, people going, yeah, I died 400 times on the first beer.
Yeah, that's the
this
thing.
Doesn't sound fun.
No, it's like I look at it and I base it off. If there's memes about, like, if there's like a TikTok about 1 million views about how many times you die on a game, I don't want to play that game. Mm. This doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, and it's literally, it's like just roll. And like, if there's a meme about it, it usually means that it's really bad. So
I'm glad I'm not the only one that feels like they missed a meeting. Like, that's how I feel with it. It's like, did I miss a meeting that we all had to go to where we talked about this game?
What was that one? There was one game where I literally, like, I was so excited because everyone said it was great and I played it. And I swear, I got so angry that I spent all the money. Neo. I think it was like N-I-O-H. And it was just literally like, I died like 5 times in like 2 minutes. I'm like, what is this? What is the point of this? Like, just... It doesn't even, like, I'm like, why am I playing this game? And it just, and then you die and it brings you back to the same spot. You're not even like, oh, I made it a little further. No, you die in the same spot because you're going the same direction every time. I'm like, you know what? Just give me Breath of the Wild where I can just walk around for 2 hours climbing a hill or whatever. That's fun for me. I'll do that.
I know somewhere where you can walk around for 2 hours and just take in the atmosphere. A metaphorical desert island, Vinny. That's where we can do it, where we can send you to watch 3 wrestling matches of your choosing. Three matches that you would love to watch while stranded.
This was very tough, by the way.
I like how this show makes wrestling folk like your good self really think, because you've got to narrow it down to three. And it's nice because I think... One thing I quite like is that most people, when we talk to them, they say, like, it reminds them about being a fan again, because you can get lost in doing it day to day. So to kind of go, well, as a fan, choose 3 matches that you love. So we're going to go through one by one throughout our interview today, the matches that you've chosen. So match number one, Vinny, I know it was difficult, but what did you go for?
So the match that I always like, okay, so I watch a lot of wrestling. And there's something, sometimes there's like a match, like, you know what, I'm like, I haven't, like, I need to watch this, I need to watch AEW, gotta catch up on, like, you know, there's, I heard this is good, I heard it, but every now and then I just like, you know what, screw it, I'm just gonna watch the classic. And it always goes back to Misawa Kawada, and you can literally take a pick, whichever one, you know what I mean, but there's there's obviously the big ones, the major ones, but literally anything from Misawa Kawada where they're just, you know, they're just going at it. I forgot the exact date on it. I think I have notes. That's like the match where I look and I'm like.
Well, there was a 6-star one. Was there like a 6-star one that Dave did in 94?
Right. 94, June 3rd, 1994. Mm. Exactly. That's the most famous one, I guess. As a pro wrestler, I even like the other ones because you can tell that it's almost like watching all three Lord of the Rings like back to back to back, because it's if you watch it like together, it's almost like one giant movie, because they're repeating, they're rewarding you for being a fan and for remembering that one thing, or you know, they're doing this thing. But yeah, I mean, if obviously Misawa Kawada, June 3rd, 1994.
Is there a moment from that match when you talk about that match? Do you visualize a particular point in that match in your head?
You know what it is? I think it's just the fact that, like, I learn every time, like, I watch it. There's something special that I watch about it, and something that I learn about it. And the fact that they're just, you know, the emotion, the timing, because everyone thinks, you know, All Japan Pro Wrestling is just a bunch of people just dropping everybody in their heads and just, you know, elbowing in their face. But with that match, they took their time. You know, there was, you know, it was a long match, and, you know, they took their time, and they actually, you know, they made everything just, you know, I mean, yeah, at the end is just so, you know, everyone's just so, you know, there's just so much. It makes you realize, like, I almost wish, like, I could just, like, just forget about it and just watch it for the first time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It just, it has that much of an impact on you that you just want to wipe it and enjoy it all over again, so you're not predicting what comes next and just enjoy it at that value. I know you've spoken in interviews before about sort of, you know, coming from Sicily and living there till you were 10. But what I do love is, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, because so many people have sort of cite the WWF or NWA as their influence, but it was wrestling from Japan that got you into it. But it was more, am I right in thinking it was the Tiger Mask cartoon?
It was Tiger Mask, yeah. So basically, when I first, I was born in Sicily. And on like Saturday morning cartoons, they would show Tiger Mask, because it was they would use a lot of Japanese anime. Like they would have like the soccer anime, and they would have like just because they didn't really, you know, Italy didn't make their own cartoons, I guess. So they would borrow a lot of stuff from Japanese anime. So the big one was Tiger Mask. That was like, you know, the actual Tiger Mask anime, the old school one. And then afterwards, they would show, there was this guy, I forgot what it's called, like catch wrestling with an Italian. I forgot what his name was. But they would show like Japanese wrestling from, you know, from New Japan with like Hogan and like I remember like Riki Chosu and Inoki. And then I remember they would show like a lot of Tiger Mask. So that's the first time I watched wrestling was that. And I just remember just thinking, man, this is so awesome. And, you know, when I came here to, you know, the United States, I watched WWF and I didn't like it at all. I thought it was bad. It's just too hokey for me. So I started watching more NWA because I remember like Great Muta was there and I recognized him. So, you know, I've always been a fan of like the hard, you know, the Japanese style, the harder hitting style like that. And then obviously when I got older, Japanese wrestling was more available. So I started watching more of that. Living in San Francisco, I would go to like Japantown a lot and go to try to get a bunch of videos and stuff like that. So that's a little bit, you know, I used to like that for me.
With going back to living in Sicily and you watching wrestling from Japan, were there many kids that of your age that were doing the same thing who were influenced by that style? Can you remember?
Yeah, I mean, everybody was. I know there's a lot of like you talking about wrestlers right now or
just friends of yours when you were growing up in Sicily. Like, did you get together on a Monday and say, "Hey, did you watch flipping the wrestling on Saturday?"
Yeah, we all watched it, but you know, we all watched it. But I think I was a little bit too. I was the one that loved it out of most out of everyone, because everyone's like, everyone's just soccer. It's all about soccer over there. You know what I mean? But I think, I was definitely, you know, I had me and my one friend. We would like, you know, we would talk about it, but. Not to the point where like how it is over here, where there's like some people that just love wrestling. You know, I think over there, you know, I'm sure you know, it's soccer or nothing. You know what I mean? It's pretty much even if you don't like, even if you're, you know, don't like it, you still know it, and you still, because you know everyone, you know, when there was a game on, nobody was in the streets. Everybody was indoors watching the game. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh, you know, some people are like, oh, I'm just gonna go shopping. Like, no, it's like the whole, like, you know, everybody's watching this game right now. So I think soccer is obviously the number one thing, but I remember I had a couple of friends that we would watch it, but nothing happened. I mean, once I got here, there's so many other people that watched, that love wrestling, especially because it was like the late 80s and it was so popular over here.
Well, you were a Juventus fan, weren't you, growing up as well? So like are you still, because I imagine it's difficult to watch it over there. There never seems to be any real sort of meaty coverage of football in America.
No.
And we will call it football.
Yeah. We'll say call it calcio over here, you know, either way I say it. But no, I mean, I keep up with it, you know. I read the results, but there's no like channel. Like my dad watches it, but he has to get like this weird package and like, you know, he has to like order this Italian like kind of thing. It's like at weird times too. And, you know, it's like super early in the morning on like a Sunday or something. But I just read the results. Mm-hmm. I wish I could watch it live. Sometimes I catch the replays and stuff. But yeah, I never realized how much people hate it. I guess the Juventus is like the Yankees of of football. It's, yeah, like everyone hates Juventus. It's so weird.
It's that whole thing when there's a team that is such an institution that some people just hate them, you know, out of spite. There is that, isn't it? They're so successful that it's like we have to by default dislike them if we don't like them, you know. And it's like over here for a long when I was growing up, so sort of around the same time as yourself, like it was like Man United was the big team. So
right, like, yeah. Is it because there's Man City and Man United? Those are the top two, right?
They were. I don't think Man United is in this, and there'll be Man United fans that will be very cross with me after this. But they're in the same class anymore.
You know what's funny is like I do watch a lot of the Premier League, and I actually like Chelsea, because I had Conte for a little bit as the coach. That was Chelsea,
yeah,
right?
It was Chelsea. Yeah, Chelsea.
Chelsea. I don't know. I really don't keep up with them anymore, but Chelsea. I like their kit, and I like their I like the when Conte was there. That was, you know, that was I like that. But
yeah, they've had a nightmare this week of Chelsea. They've had a nightmare because
really?
Obviously they're owned by Roman Abramovich, and his assets have been frozen, so they can't make any money. And they've been told, wow, you can't sell tickets, you can't sell merch. And there was a story.
What?
That, yeah, that's so they can't.
It's like an indie wrestling.
Chelsea suddenly became an indie overnight. And there was a story that went out in The Guardian about Chelsea. And it said Chelsea players face arduous 10-hour coach journey because they can't fly to Middlesbrough, which is from one side of the UK to the other. And we know the size of the UK.
It really is. It really is an indie show. They're like, I'll PayPal you next month. I'll PayPal you next month. Oh, listen, guys, there's no flights. Get in the car. I'll pay. Give me the receipts for the gas. I'll reimburse it. Really, it's like an indie wrestling show. God bless Chelsea. All right.
Chelsea have become a super indie. It's hilarious. But wish them best all the same.
What's your team?
Well, by default, my team is West Bromwich Albion. Because my dad,
I have no idea what
dad's
I
fine. They're a West Midlands team of mixed success. If you know Wolverhampton Wanderers, if you know Wolverhampton,
yes.
So basically, West Brom are Wolves' rival team.
Okay.
So that's they're on the other side of the West Midlands, and they don't like each other. So, but my dad's been a fan all his life. My older brother is an Arsenal fan, so I guess I'm partly an Arsenal fan as well.
I think I have an Arsenal shirt. Arsenal kit.
Like a classic one.
I think, you know what's funny, I love to go thrift shopping. Like I love to go to the thrift stores, so they like I grabbed one. I was like, what the heck is this? I was like, Arsenal, I'm pretty sure. And I grabbed it. I don't even think there's anything on the back of it. I'll have to look it up. I'll find it and I'll try to send the picture out.
Yes, please do.
I think it's just it's so weird, like you'll find like random like I found what was it? I found like an Egyptian an Egyptian league like team the other day, like a jersey, and I was like, I'll buy it. I don't care. I'll wear it. You know what I mean?
Like in a thrift store, in a market.
Yeah, like a second, you know, like just, you know, you go and you find, like you'll find, like sometimes I'll find like wrestling shirts, but some, like the thing is a jersey, because I'll just wear a jersey. I don't care what team it is. You know what I mean? I'm not that guy. It's like, only my team. I'll wear it. I don't care. I'll wear anything.
Plus, you never know when you'll be working a show in Egypt. You'll need heat. So that could come in handy.
True. Come in as the big baby face. Hey, I got some, you know.
We hate that team here. Heel. You've researched this badly.
I know. I have no idea where it's at. I just figured it's like the same thing.
Actually, we can't move on from football without me saying, like, where I'm recording this from is Newcastle. So to my left, I'll show you, but the camera's not very good quality. But outside this window here, you can see St James's Park, which is Newcastle United's ground.
Oh, nice.
So and they've obviously been in the news recently because they've just had a big Saudi Arabian takeover, and they've suddenly got all the money in the world, but they're still not very good at football. They're getting better, but they've got a lot of money.
Do you go to the games a lot, or are you just like?
I've been to a couple. My brother, I think there was an last time Newcastle played Arsenal. My brother came up and we went together, like just because it's a nice chance to hang out with my brother. I should go more often. I feel like I should support the team more often, but I tend to sleep in on a Saturday where I can.
Yeah, I'm the same. I want to go. I'm like, forget it.
Yeah,
I'd rather sit and watch it live.
Yeah,
because, you know, like, same thing. Because I got. I can go watch the Warriors play, but sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'll just stay at home because there's parking and getting there and then driving home and traffic. It's a whole ordeal.
What did you make of watching sport during lockdown? Because I found like, I think obviously with the wrestling, we had the Thunderdome experience, which gave us pumped in crowd noises, but it was very, very surreal, whichever sport it was. Like it was.
The NBA one was bad.
Yeah.
The NBA one was kind of bad, which is funny. I'm glad you mentioned this because this will probably lead into my number two wrestling match when I'm in my desert island. Wrestling was very depressing. It was for me personally, I went through a very depressed time where I didn't, because I live in California, for those of you that don't know, and here it was lockdown. Now when I say lockdown, it wasn't like, oh, you can't go to concerts. I mean, we couldn't go to the grocery store. Like we had to like make appointments to go to the grocery store, and you can only have 20 people in the grocery store. And then when you got there, everything was empty because nobody was working. The truck drivers weren't working. Like the actual people weren't working. It was a mess. Like, you know, the gyms were all closed. Everything was closed. You couldn't, at one point it got so bad that they told us for Thanksgiving, you can only have like 5 people at your house for like a holiday. It was like Christmas dinner. You can only have like 5 people at your house. That's what the California stated. So it was really bad. Like you couldn't do anything. Like everything was like legit closed. Not just like, oh, make sure you wear your mask. No, like it was done.
Everything was
The gyms were closed. Anything was closed. So I was like, I'm not wrestling at all. Like, so I literally did not wrestle for almost a year and a half, 2 years. And I just got super depressed. I have an essential job, and they were working, and it was a very, very busy time because a lot of the other employees that were working with me quit or just didn't want to feel safe, so just stayed home and collected unemployment because there was the government was giving away like a lot of unemployment, and plus on top of that, like COVID pay, so they just stayed home. So I was working a lot of hours, and I just got super depressed. I gained a bunch of weight. You know, I drank way too much. And luckily for me that I got, you know, something came over me one day and I just stopped. I quit drinking pretty much. I literally have not had like a glass of wine like for Christmas, like this last Christmas. But besides that, I haven't had any drink. I stopped drinking completely because it was just, you know, it was just getting out of hand. And, I hired a personal trainer. I got a bunch of weird equipment for my gym here, in my man cave. But it was just very depressing.
I think a lot of people will share everything you've said there, because we did just get told to stay home, everyone, and we all just ate and drank and felt awful. And especially with yourself, as you said in a few interviews that you're an essential worker. And when everybody else was disappearing, you were just picking up all those hours. So, like, were you able to divulge a little bit in terms of what you were doing as an essential worker?
Yeah, pretty much just what I do is, I guess you would say, like, a pest control, like exterminator, I guess. Mm. But I don't go and like and spray, like I'm not like John Goodman where I go and spray like people's houses too much. I inspect food and handling like warehouses. So like I would go to the places like that actually make the food and make water and then bottle the where you they go and bottle the water, like big warehouses, like just giant warehouses where they were like, hey, if I'm not here to make sure there's no bugs, you're not gonna be able to eat because they're infested with bugs and rodents and stuff like that. So, you know, at that time, because it was all, you know, there was a lot of, you know, workers, and I would go to like a certain place and warehouses, and I would look and I was like, there's like 30 employees missing. What's going on? It's like, cool, these people got staying home. This 5 of them got sick, 2 of them died. And I was like, Jesus. And then I will go like a month later, and it was like, hey, what about this guy? It's like, oh, you know, his wife died. He stays home now with his kids. And I was just like, dude, what am I doing? But I had to do it. I feel like I had to do it because if I didn't do it, then like literally, I mean, this was like, you know, major food brands where it's like, you know, if I didn't do my job, they would not, you know, grocery stores wouldn't have, you know, you wouldn't be able to get food in the grocery stores. You wouldn't, you know, just the things that like, you know, you think, oh, it's just, you know, of course, you know, they're just, you know, things happen, you know, chicken magically appears. Well, no, you need to make sure there's, you know, that warehouse isn't infested with whatever it is. And, you know, it reminded me of like, you ever seen that documentary or that thing on TV, like Life After People? You know what I mean? Where it's like, there's nobody around. And like, you know, when there's nobody around, you know, animals and, you know, nature takes over. And it was literally like weeds were growing because there was nobody to cut them. There was, you know, there was
the rats
more bugs,
take over.
More rats. Yeah. And like, literally they were like, listen, you got to go here because the guy that usually like this handles this isn't here. And now we have infestation. So like, it was just a mess, but I know it's way too much information, but
it's amazing all the jobs that people had to carry on doing. I think it's the common conception that everybody just stayed home, but there were people like yourself who still had work to do. And I think you being on the front line of it, and very real, the fact that you go in, you go, oh, there were 30 people this week, there was 20 next week, and it was like that was really what was happening, and it was terrifying. And
it really was.
We didn't know how long it was going to go on for. And I think initially we all thought a few weeks and we'll be fine. Like, yeah. I remember in April when they were canceling WrestleMania, we were talking, like, they'll do it at SummerSlam, they'll do it in August.
Postpone it, yeah. Yeah. It was just weird because like I would get there and it would be like, hey, make sure you need to go in and spray and, you know, go in and check this area. By the way, the guy that was there died like 2 days ago. I'm like, all right, so why am I going in there? Like, you know what I mean? And like, you know, I would like, oh wait, let's disinfect it before you go in there. I was like, dude, if I get sick, you know, because then I have a wife, my son lives with me, my mother-in-law lives with me, and it's so like I would literally come home every day from work. Like go in the garage, take off all my clothes, make sure that I didn't bring anything in, just jump in the shower, scrub it. I literally have long hair. I shaved it because I just didn't want to risk anything. I shaved my head.
Gosh.
And because I didn't want to bring it home. I didn't, you know, because I was literally, I wasn't like, oh, you're in a cubicle. I was like, you know, where people, like literally there was people who were getting sick and it was rough, but.
So.
And then besides all that, the wrestling, which wasn't even happening. So I would literally come home and I'm like, yeah, let me look forward to the same thing tomorrow. Cause there's no wrestling for the foreseeable future.
You're just stuck in a loop then, which is why, you know, as you say, like you ate and you drank and, you know, as we all did. You said though, that there was a light bulb moment where you went, all right, I've come off the rails, I need to get back into it. Can you remember what that was, what it was that made you go, all right, we need to get back in the game here?
I think it was just, you know, I think it was, I don't know, I think maybe it was just, I just remembered that, like, hey, you know, just because the world's ending doesn't mean I have to go down with the ship. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I had that kind of moment. And, you know, and at the same time, I was like, you know what? What if it is good? What if things come back and then I'm just going to be, you know, I'm already like, you know, I'm not the youngest person in wrestling right now. And I'm, you know, I'm just going to make it worse. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not, if let's say it comes back, I'm going to need 6 months after that just to recuperate. And plus two, I don't want to, you know, it honestly started getting to my health. Like it started, when you reach a certain age, you can't just do all those things and then expect to not have any consequences. Like I was moving slower. My back was hurting. My knees were hurting. So I just decided it was time for stop it. And, you know, because unfortunately at that time, there was a lot of, you were white, I was by myself a lot. So I would just think a lot and I would just play scenarios in my head. And I just kind of decided, it's time for a change, and I just kind of did it.
So that's where the gym equipment came into the man cave, and that's where
I had lots of money. we have, you know, because that's all I was doing was working. So I just, you know, I got all this weight equipment here in my gym. I put TVs up, I put my video games here. So I'm like, I have no excuse. You know, it's like my little man cave. Because there was no gyms open. So I just like, you know what? And now every day I go, you know, I wake up, go on the treadmill, then go to work, come home, lift, or go, you know, and then the days that I go to train at wrestling, I go to train at wrestling. So no, it's very hard to say, I'm not feeling like working out this day when it's literally like 2 minutes away from, you know, your living room. Like it's like, you know,
yeah, like, less
two rooms away. Yeah. Less excuse, way less excuse.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You mentioned that talking about sort of the Thunderdome and then lockdown and all that was an inspiration for your second match. So what would you like your second match to be, Vinny?
So to me, one of the most depressing things that happened during the pandemic, and is unfortunately still happening, is New Japan Pro Wrestling and the fans not being able to be loud. And you know, just the clap crowd is very... it's very depressing. Listen, watching Wrestle Kingdom with the clap crowd and all that stuff. So to me, my second match that I watch, literally I watch once a week just because the fans go insane and it's such a great match, is Okada versus Shibata from, I think it's Genesis. Yeah. From 2017 or 2018. But it's like literally his last match. The match where he got injured in.
That's with the headbutt, isn't it?
With the headbutt incident.
A phenomenal match, but that headbutt.
That headbutt, but you know, as much as everyone cringes on the headbutt, to me, it's just the type of person that Shibata is, because he's a warrior, you know, and he's just like, if this were different times, he'd be, you know, he'd be on a horse, you know, writing, you know, fighting the Mongols or what, you know what I mean? Whoever, you know, he's just that kind of person. And I've wrestled a lot of my heroes throughout my career. There's not many dream matches left, but my last dream match that I could ever possibly have it would be against Shibata. And if it doesn't happen, you know, I understand, but to me, he's just an amazing wrestler. There's zero wasted effort on anything that he does. And he's like an amazing wrestler. Okada's an amazing wrestler. But I think to me, when I watched that match, it's just like one of the greatest matches I've ever seen. And I watch it at least once a week.
What puts that Shibata match with Okada above other Shibata matches for you?
I think the fact that he... because a lot of times when people wrestle Okada, they kind of like, they're kind of on the defensive about it. They're wrestling, they're fighting on the way, they're coming back from him, but he just brought it to him, and he brought his style. I think my favorite part is when he does the Rainmaker into the slap. Just because he's like, you're flashy, but I could do the same thing, but in my own special way. I just because everyone, you know, obviously Okada was going through that super crazy run, and and Shibata was kind of like, you know, doing like more, he was doing more tag matches, so he, you know, they weren't really sure. But that, I think, to me, that's the one where everyone was like, you know, Shibata is one of the best wrestlers, you know, in the world.
Can we talk about Ultimo Panda?
Sure. I hate that stupid panda.
your arch rival, Ultimo Panda.
My arch rival.
You look very similar. I don't know whether anyone said that to you. I presume you go to the same gym, the same man cave.
Yeah,
gym.
We have the same hairstyle.
Who made the panda head?
Honestly, it was just from. So long story short, there was a pro wrestling revolution to Lucha Libre promotion. And, I really wanted to work with, you know, it was one of my close friends in the business, Gabe Ramirez. And he was like, you know, I really want to use you, Vinny. I really want to book you, but, you know, we're a Lucha company. And, it's like, we can't. And I was like, I'm not a luchador. I don't fly. If anyone's ever watched me wrestle, I barely jump. I barely hit the ropes. So at the time, my son was, I think he was like 5 or 6, and he loved Kung Fu Panda. Like, he couldn't get, he was watching that thing like it was going out of style. And then one day he was just like, Dad, that's you. It's like, what are you talking about? It's like, that's you. It's like, how's that me? It's like, because every time you wrestle, everyone always says, he goes, oh, this guy doesn't, this guy's fat. This guy doesn't, he's not going to do anything. And then you get in the ring and you do all your crazy moves and they all love you. And I was like, you know what? It's a great idea. So I came up, you know, I told, because I'm a big, one of my favorite wrestlers is Ultimo Dragon. So I was just like, you know, can I call myself Ultimo Panda? And then the rest is history.
So where did the head come from?
We just came out. I don't know. We just decided to do like a little, like a funny panda. We don't want to.
So did you make it then? Is it like your?
Yeah. We designed it. We designed the panda mask. We designed it. We had a mask maker from Mexico, and he came out and he did it. And he made the whole thing, and you know, because I didn't want to make it like too cartoony, where it's like. You know, where it's like one of those, like, I forget what you call it, like, you know, those Japanese anime, like, pandas. I want to actually look like an actual panda, like, you know what I mean? But nothing scary, where it's just like, you know, where it's got like his teeth out. It's going to, like, you know, pandas are scary people. Pandas are very, very scary. Not many people know that.
Did you envision that it would be Ultimo Panda making a debut on AEW before you did?
No. No, not one bit.
That's quite a turn up for the books, isn't it?
No, not one bit. I was like, all right. Because when I first heard AEW, it's like, all right, here we go. Vinny Mussara is like, cool. And they're like, hey, can you bring the panda outfit? I'm like, all right. I get it. I'm thinking like they're going to do like a skit on BTE or something. But they're like, no, you're wrestling as the freaking panda. And I was like, but hey. Whatever gets me in the door, yeah. Right? I don't care. I mean, listen, for all the things that some people make fun of, like, you're a stupid panda, it's a comedy wrestler.
Oh, I think it's brilliant. I genuinely think it's brilliant.
I wrestle at AEW as a panda. I wrestle at Arena Mexico because of Panda. And I wrestle for All Japan Pro Wrestling as Ultimo Panda. So I can't knock it too as much as Paul, you know what I mean? So...
I don't know how anybody could be upset with the panda, because I wrestling's best when it's when it's a bit bollocks, like for me, when like you've got big characters, larger than life personalities like Vinnie Massaro, like Ultimo Panda, wrestling's so much fun when it's that. It is such an art form. Like, and what's lovely is we get to talk today about matches from All Japan and New Japan and how heavy hitting it is, but we also get to sort of celebrate, you know, big personalities, a big part of wrestling as well. Like those big characters and that big persona. And
I think it's funny that, like, because like Vinnie Massaro, like when I talk about, when Vinnie Massaro talks about wrestling, he's very serious and, you know, he's very respectful. Like, you know, he hates this, he hates all this, the spot fest and the Canadian destroyers. But then at the same time, like, I'll go and wrestle as Panda and I'll just do the dumbest thing, you know what I mean? Like, I'll do trust falls and, you know, and sit on people's, you know, chest with my big fat butt, you know what I mean?
Is it a bit of a release for you just to go and be a bit silly?
I'm not gonna lie. I love doing it because the kids love it. I love the kid. Like, literally, I walk out and the kids are just like, it's like Lewis. How can you boo a panda? Like, it's, you know, it's impossible. But like, you know, it's fun because I have, you know, the wrestling part is a challenge because I can't just do all my crazy, you know, Vinnie Massaro moves and, you know, beat the crap out of people. I got to actually, like, you know, be more, I do a little bit of comedy, but at the same time, I don't just do stupid comedy where everyone's like, all right, dude, that's enough. You're like, this is stupid. I try to make it so it's actually a good match too. So it's challenging too. I like it. Plus I like Lucha Libre. I like wrestling for the Lucha fans. It's a, you know, it's a nice experience for sure.
What's been nice to see is, because, you know, we talk about how, you know, when in 2020 you didn't wrestle for such a long time and you had that light bulb moment where you're like, look, we've got to get back into this now. And I feel like you're, and I'm not saying this because you're here, because I've said this to people when you're not here. It feels like you've really just had this massive resurgence since the world came back. You've just been busy. You've been putting on bangers. It's just been amazing to see that you've been properly out there. You had,
I appreciate that.
You and Ishii just ripped it up. That looked like it was a bit of that looked like a special moment for you, you and Ishii.
I loved it. God, wrestling Ishii was just so amazing just because, you know, I watched his match, you know, it's Mr. G1, you know what I mean? Ishii, it's, you know, he's awesome. And gained the chance to wrestle him, and, you know, the fact that he didn't just like, oh, let's just take it easy. He beat the piss out of me, you know what I mean? There was, you know what I mean, like, he didn't like, you know, he went 100% on me, and you know, just all the reaction that all the other wrestlers and fans, like, you know, and people like you that have told me that, yeah, I'm having a resurgence, which is kind of cool because I'm, you know, I'm getting noticed right now in pro wrestling. I'm getting a little bit more popular, you know, and I'm getting more bookings, and I'm having a resurgence, and I kind of take pride in it because it's due to just having good matches. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, oh, Vinny's popular because he fell off a roof and, you know, whatever, shattered his leg or whatever, you know what I mean? Or, you know, oh, he got, remember, that's the guy that caught on fire or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm literally just having good matches. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with, you know, West Coast Pro, you know, and you know, the people, you know Scott, you know, is one of my friends now. I met him, you know, a year ago, and he was watching APW, and he's watching Bay Area Wrestling, and he told me, he's like, dude, you're like one of my favorite wrestlers. And I was like, I appreciate that. And he was like, yeah, but it sucks because nobody knows that, because the Bay Area doesn't have, you know, that kind of you know, reputation, and it's really hard to see matches. So he's like, you know what, I'm gonna change that. And he did. You know what I mean? You know, he helped me. He put me in these great matches. And literally, he just told me, he's like, what do you want to do? So just go out there and have a great match. And I did, you know, and now because of it, other people are noticing it, and people are, you know, putting me with, you know, with more established, you know, bigger names, and I keep having great matches. And, you know, and because of it, I'm, you know, do interviews like yours, and a lot of people around the world are noticing that, you know, it's very, I'm happy about it. And honestly, I'm just having a lot of fun because I, you know, no matter what, I love professional wrestling, and I just love wrestling. And that's the main thing. I'm having a lot of fun just wrestling.
You mentioned West Coast Pro there, which very much seems your home base of a promotion. You do many other things, but you seem to have the most action at West Coast Pro. And people might be discovering West Coast Pro for the first time listening to this, and I want to shine a light on it because there's a lot of good coming out of there. Obviously, with the exception of yourself, who else on that roster are going to be ones to watch going forward?
I think going forward, we're gonna, you know, Jacob Fatu is now, you know, he became the West Coast Pro champion. He's Bay Area person. Levi Shapiro is coming back next show. He's facing AJ Gray. He's a great, another local Bay Area talent we use. Titus Alexander, the future, you know, they call him the future franchise for a reason. He's going to be a mega star in the future. Starboy Charlie. He's come back from injury. He's going to be a megastar. You know, those are the Bay Area people, but I mean, we use a lot of, one of the guys that everyone should be looking out for right now. He's based out of LA. He used to wrestle in Buffalo. His name is Kevin Blackwood. We use him a lot. If he's not signed within the year, something's going on. Something's because he's that good. He's, you know, and I almost feel like he's, you know, he's not from the Bay Area, but he's one of our guys. He's one of our homegrown talents. You know, AJ Gray, you know, I know he's a GCW star, but he's, you know, he's been wrestling for us for a long time. I love AJ. I think he's a great talent. You know, he's a hard hitting. He's just like me, you know, he's just a hard hitting guy. And
I used to bleep swear words on this podcast. I used to bleep swear words, and then we had AJ Gray on, and I just decided I'm going to spend too long editing these. So you know what? We're not going to edit swear words anymore.
Yeah, forget it.
He's great, but every other word is an F. It's
that's why I love. That's why I get along with AJ, and I love AJ, is just because he's the truth. You know what I mean?
He's real.
He's honestly one of the realest people that I know. And, you know, if you don't like him, it's because he told you something you didn't want to hear. But, you know, he's just a real guy. And, you know, me and him get along because we're the same. We're pretty much the same person. Trust me, there are a lot of people that don't like me because I tell them the truth. You know, but there's, you know, Nicole Savoy, great wrestler from the Bay Area, from Sacramento. She's a female wrestler. She's awesome. Masha Slamovich. I think she's amazing. We have some, you know, Sandra Moon from Vegas. You know, there's a lot of talent. You know, where if you watch indie wrestling TV, IWTV, you can catch up and watch all the matches. This next one is going to be amazing. You know, April 15th is a big one for us because 415 is the area code for San Francisco. The main event, Minoru Suzuki versus Kevin Blackwood. Yuji Nagata versus David Richards, Levi Shapiro versus AJ Gray. I'm wrestling this guy from the East Coast named Akira. He's more of a deathmatch guy, but he's also, you know, trains in a lot of MMA and jiu-jitsu, and you know, I hope to wrestle him and have a great match with him. I just got done wrestling Robin. I feel like I almost want to be known as the guy that, like, you know, the, you know, you come to the West Coast, you know, you wrestle Vinny Massaro, and you see, and because that's how you want to know how you are, how you do, because I'm a big fan of the territories, and that's what it was. You know, I remember Ray Stevens, you know, would be the king of the territory here in the Bay Area. All the big wrestlers, you know, Nick Bockwinkel, you know, anyone from all the other territories from Texas, they will come to the Bay Area and they will wrestle Ray Stevens. And I want to be that guy. I want to be known as, you know, the king of the West Coast.
You're like the gatekeeper of the West Coast.
The gatekeeper, the final boss of the West Coast.
For Pokemon fans, Vinny Massaro is essentially a gym leader in the West Coast. Yeah, that way you got to fight him. That's how, I like that.
That makes sense. The gym leader. I don't do too much. Ultimo Panda is the one that likes Pokemon.
Ah, he could be the gym leader.
He can be the gym leader. Because if he was interviewing right now, he'd be like panda. He likes Pokemon.
We'll book him for one.
Translate it. Yeah, you have to hire someone to translate. So that's the only problem.
We'll get to your third and final match in just a moment. Before we do, I like to throw this at people, as well as picking three matches. If I was say to you, so off the top of your head, if you could also take with you, as you're leaving the house for the island, you have to grab a movie, you have to grab an album and a luxury item. What would they be? So if you had to take a movie with you, Vinny, what movie would you take with you?
I would probably take... That's a tough one. I would probably take Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
Yeah, I'd probably take Goodfellas.
Why Goodfellas?
Just because it's an awesome movie. I love it. I know it by heart. So, but I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I want to watch that in a deserted island though. It might be weird. That might be a little weird. But yeah, I stick with Goodfellas. Goodfellas is a good pick.
What about an album? What album would you take?
Album. That one's kind of easy. I would take a Metallica and Justice for All. That's easy. It'll make me work out and do all kinds of good stuff on it.
So is that a workout album for you then? And Justice for All.
Yeah. Once Black End comes out on a treadmill, you have to keep going no matter until it ends. It's like 9 minute song. You got to keep going.
Push through that and you're good for the day. 9 minutes of that bad boy. How about a luxury item? So something with, it can be a bit of tech. It can be something with a bit of sentimental value. It can be something to remind you of home.
Luxury item.
Yeah.
I don't know. That sounds. There's no plugs in there.
I tell you, you can take like a games console. We have had people taking games consoles before, so I assume you'd want to take.
I would take my Switch then. Yeah, I would take my Switch.
The Switch is a good shout.
Breath of the Wild all day long. You know what I mean? That'll keep me occupied.
So when you get bored on the island, you can go onto another island in the game. Jobs are good.
That'd be funny if I'm on a desert island and I'm hanging out with Nook the whole time. What's the point? You're like here, like do the same, just do the legit thing. Build your own raft.
You're just not getting hassled for money constantly by Tom Nook. So that's your three items. Okay, so your third and final match then. Let's do this. Your third and final one.
The third and final match is the Michinoku Pro. A six-man from ECW, Barely Legal.
Okay.
Because that match, I swear to God, like I can watch that match and I can actually like remember how I felt watching that pay-per-view. I remember being, I think I was like 18 years old. No, I was 17 years old. Maybe 16. I was 17. I remember watching that match and I was like, what the fuck did I just watch?
So would you have watched this live?
Live. Yeah, I watched it live.
Yeah.
I am that old, yes. Yeah. I watched it live. I watched it on pay-per-view. Okay, kids, we had this thing where you actually had to call your cable provider to get pay-per-view. You didn't just click on a button. Yeah, I know, it sounds weird. What? It wasn't on the internet.
Make a phone call.
your cable box came out of the, you had, you attached the wire and you call your cable box and it was like $39.99. But I remember I ordered it and I was just like, I remember watching that match and I was like, what the hell did I just like? I couldn't wrap, like, the first time I saw the Michinoku driver, I was just like, what the fuck did I just watch? Like, it was like mind blowing. And I remember because I was starting to train at that time, my mind was like, Holy shit, let me do this. Okay, this move, I can do this move. And that's when I started becoming the innovator. And I started like coming up with all these crazy moves. And I think it was just because of that match, because I was like, oh, well, hey, if you body slam and just do that, well, then how come I can't do this and do this and do this? Because, you know, back then, nobody could be an innovator, because it was like, no, you have to do this like this. Because in the 19, our forefathers did it like this. So we all have to do like this. But that six man made me realize, screw all that. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. Reverse suplex into this thing and sit down. So that match, unbelievable.
It's always shocking when you watch shows like this from the 90s, and they'll have like a wrestling contingent from one of the Japanese promotions come over, and you suddenly realize like the American promotions are playing chess and they're playing 4D checkers. And it's just like, we watched World War III 1995 for work purposes the other week. And in the middle of that, you've got the All Japan Women's Tag Match. And it's just like, they're going
pace
5-10 years ahead of its time compared to everyone else. Yeah.
It's like watching the Dragon Gate ROH match. You're just like, I mean, now it's like, yeah, you know, you got Willow Spray and Ricochet to do that. But like back then, like, you know, cause, and ROH was ahead of its time, but you watch that six man and they're just like, it's like one of the greatest matches. But like, to me, like they were doing that back then when it was literally like, you know, when they were literally like, people were finishing, you know, pay-per-views with the pod driver, you know what I mean? And they were just doing these crazy matches. And they were just like, we're in Japan, we're doing in like a small little indie Japan. And they, you know, it was just so great because they're like, you know what? We're Japanese wrestlers, but we're also very small. And we learn how to do lucha. So we're just going to do six-man tags. And I was just like, this is I loved every minute of it.
An unreal clash of style. So it's BWO Japan, Taka Michinoku, Terry Boy, and Dick Togo versus Sasuke, Hamada, and Yakushiji, if I remember. Yeah. Look that up on Barely Legal 97. It's on the network if you want to watch it as well.
Yeah. Because it was supposed to be Grand Naniwa, but he got like his flight, something happened. Like he couldn't get his flight or something.
So he got and they swapped had
the kid. Yeah, the kid. But the kid would. Fucking killed it. Like
he held his own, didn't he? The last minute drop in, he held his own in it. It's a phenomenal one. It's worth a watch. Vinny, this has been a wonderful trip onto the island with you. Thank you very much for coming and sharing some of your favorite matches and telling us some stories. If people want to keep up to date with what you are up to, sir, where can they find you?
Honestly, just, you know, I should have a website, but you know, go on social media at Snoring Elbow. I'm hilarious. Give me a follow. You know, pretty much just anything, you know, just, you know, that's the main thing. But, you know, support indie wrestling wherever you are. Support people like you, you know, doing, you know, that support indie wrestling. You know, podcasts like yours and, you know, shows like yours. You know, that support indie wrestling. Because, you know what I mean? Everyone can talk about WWE, WrestleMania. You know, that's... But not everyone can be like, you know what, I'm going to get this indie dude from California and help him out. You know what I mean? That's very awesome. Because, you know, I'm sure you get tons more press when you talk about, you know, whatever, Goldberg or, you know, Kenny Omega or the Young Bucks. But I appreciated you actually taking your time and doing, you know, giving someone like myself who's not that popular.
Mate, it's my honor to have you on, man. And
no, man, it's true though. Because I mean, you know, you can literally just, you know, it's like, oh, let's do it. You know, shoot, I bet you you can talk about an hour about what happened on AEW, but instead,
I'll do that,
you
know, you're, as well.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, you're taking the time. Listen, there was a lot of shit going on that happened on AEW. You
know, oh yeah, I'm gonna that. That's I'll get into that next. But no, what I like about with this show is it's not only is it a chance for me to chat to friends and to heroes and such, it's also a chance to shine a light on people who deserve a light to be shone on them. And that's kind of what this is all about. So why wouldn't you? So it's at Snoring Elbow on Twitter. And I know there'll be people who have heard your story today and will have picked it up as well. And they'll be inspired to reach out, and I will speak on behalf of Vinny when I say yes. If you are struggling on Mary Kate and Ashley's horse riding adventure, if you speak to Vinny, he will be able to help you.
I don't even know where you can get this game nowadays. If someone finds that game, I forgot what it was, like Mary Kate,
send it
and
to
Ashley
Vinny.
Olsen. It's like pony, like horse championship or
horse
something,
ride.
Or...
I think it's called horse championship. That's an indie title if I ever heard it.
Horse championship, riding, promising horses.
Oh, please book that, you cowards. Mary Kate and Ashley horse riding adventures.
Question of honor. It's a great thing. But no, please don't do that. But I'll talk about wrestling. I'll talk about video games forever.
I like how you very quietly went, yeah, please don't do that.
proven me. But hey, I'm playing WWE 2K, so you know what? We can talk about WWE 2K.
Oh, we barely touched on 2K. We barely touched on it.
Yeah, I know.
Good, it's good.
I honestly, it's good. Because I stopped playing it for a while just because I couldn't do anything. Like, I would get reversed, like, every 3 seconds. But now it's actually, like, Drew Gulak is, like, my best friend now because he's, like, he taught me how to play. Like, you know what I mean?
I like Drew being in there doing all that stuff.
I like it. And the graphics are awesome. Yeah. It's great. I like the graphics. They look good. And I like the My Rise thing. And, you know, it's fun. It's, like, literally you can just... And the good thing about it is, like I remember with the other games, like, if I didn't play for a week, I would come back and I would, like, forget everything. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. But now it's way easier and it's more friendlier for, you know, new players. So I think I like it. I think it's cool. Well, I can't wait to see, like, you know, when you have, like, the 10-man, elimination chamber or 8-man elimination chamber and everything messes up.
Well, when people start clipping through the floor.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
I love those
people that go like, I don't know what happened. I was 8 Rey Mysterios in the elimination chamber and the game broke. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, what were you doing? It's like, oh, I jumped off. I had everyone jump off the top rope at the same time. I'm like, all right. Come on now. Like, I know you. Like, we were all 8 Mysterios were on top of the Hell in the Cell. And we went through, like, I'm like, all right, like, why would you, it took me a half hour to get figure this out. I'm like,
this is what a game tester worries about. Like,
that's what I used to do. I used to play Madden. I used to play the same team against the same team for a long period of time to see if they will break it. Like, that was the whole point. Like, that's people like try to break games now and record it. It's funny. Game testing now, just you people are doing it for free.
Exactly. Like, you could do it for free if you had a copy of Mary Kate and Ashley's Horse Riding Adventure.
I hate you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.